I'm going to try tonight for just a few minutes to encourage you. Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, this is Pastor Steve. He usually beats us up. He doesn't encourage us. I'm going to try to get out of character tonight, okay? Seriously, I am. This message has been weighing heavily on me for a while, and I want to share it with you. I have another one that will piggyback on it that I'll give you sometime in the near future whenever the opportunity comes up again. But tonight I want to talk about God's purpose and your potential. God's purpose and your potential. Seems to me that everywhere I go, I travel a lot, I talk to a lot of other pastors, church people, non-church people, but everywhere I go, it seems to me that people are living frustrated lives. Some of them don't even know why. It's just they get up in the morning and life just frustrates them from the time they get up. There seem to be a lot of different sources of it. But when it comes to Christians, I believe it boils down to one thing. I believe it boils down to the fact that we as Christians, many of us, we get up every day believing that there's something great that God has put on the inside of us. But we wake up every morning in an ordinary world. And that frustrates us because we don't understand. Unfortunately, however, most of us, or many people, we take that something great that we're thinking is inside of us. We think that it's the ability to better ourselves. And that leads to frustration. Because the greatness that God has put in you is not for you. The greatness that God has put in you is for those around you. And so if you're trying to take the greatness that He's put in you and use it to make yourself greater, you're going to be frustrated. And there's a reason for that. You don't have the potential for that. We're going to talk about potential a lot tonight. The question really is, why are you here? I don't mean here in church tonight. Why are you here? Why am I here? Why are we on this earth? What's our purpose? Well, I can kind of give you a general statement on that. Our purpose, we were created to rule things. And our purpose is to bring glory to God by spreading the kingdom of God on earth. That's every one of us. In some way, whatever God has put inside of us to do, whatever He's called us to do is to bring glory to God and to spread the kingdom, to spread the good news and give Him the glory for it. Genesis 1, look at Genesis 1 with me. We're going to look at several different scriptures tonight. So if you got your Bible, just keep it out. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Next verse. Verse 27. I'll just get it right here. Verse 27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I'm going to make a statement, and I don't usually do this, because a lot of pastors will say, here's your tweetable moment. Well, I don't care if you tweet it or not, but here's something you need to remember tonight. You were created to rule things, not pursue things. You were created to rule things and not pursue things. Your purpose is to rule your domain, not let your domain rule you. And we have so wrapped up the American dream in modern Christianity that there's very little difference in the two. We try to tie it all together. Now, I want to give you, do I need to use that one? Is that why I'm buzzing? All right.
Try that. Is that better? That did get rid of the buzz. Thank you. All right. Fundamental principle of creation. If I you guys, most of you know I like to do woodwork, this little table and stuff like this. If I'm going to build something, whether it's a table or a house or whatever it might be, what's the first thing I have to do? The first thing I have to do is have in my mind what I'm going to build. And whatever I have in my mind concerning what I'm going to build has to meet the purpose that I want to use it for. This table, I built this little table a couple, 3 years ago. Now, this little table, I knew that we would use it up here as kind of a podium at times. So I wanted it to be a certain height. I thought a certain size would be good. And I wanted it to have a finish that would not reflect light and glare up in your eyes. So all of those things came into play when I actually built the table. Fundamental principle of creation. When God creates something, He designs it according to its purpose. Now remember what Scripture tells us. Scripture says that He sees the end of the thing from the beginning. I had to see this table in my mind to build it. Now, sure, there are little things that you change and add as you go along. God doesn't do that. He sees all those little things in the beginning. But when God creates something, He designs it according to its purpose. Now, look at this. He places the potential in it that it will need to fulfill its purpose. This table had the potential to be a table from the time I designed it. It was already a table in my mind. And then I put it together with wood and glue and nails and all that kind of stuff, and it became a working table, right? So whatever God designs, whatever He creates, He puts in it the potential to fulfill the purpose that He has for it. So no matter what it is that God has given you to do in life, whatever your purpose is, He's already put the potential inside of you to do that. Now, a lot of times we spend a lot of time running around and we miss things God has for us because we're waiting on Him to do it. But He's already put it in us. Every one of you in here tonight has the potential to fulfill the purpose that God has given you. Every one of you. And that is quite different from the American dream. Because you see, the American dream, this materials and houses and cars, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, don't get me wrong. It's not what I'm saying tonight. But all of those things, you have to strive to get there. Most of us live our lives trying to fulfill our own purposes. And we fail when we try to fulfill our own purposes because we don't have the potential within us to fulfill those purposes. I have the potential in me to fulfill God's purpose in me. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't do things on my own, that I can't accomplish things. We all can. We have that ability. But ultimate purpose in life, we have to have the potential to fulfill it. Here's something else that's important. You can't determine your own purpose. And a lot of people try. I want to do this. I want to be on the platform. I want to be running the sound. I want to be the band. I want whatever it might be. And that's not God's purpose for you, maybe. And when you try to do it, you'll fall on your face because you don't have the potential to do it. You're outside of what God has planned for you to do. The best thing any of us can do is to seek God's purpose for our life. Because until we find that purpose, we'll never fulfill anything. Okay? And that's why most of us live defeated lives. You're never satisfied. A lot of people never satisfied because they're just looking for the next great thing to excite them and keep them going. So they're never really satisfied in the purpose that God's given them. And that's why you see people jumping from one thing to the other and constantly doing something different. So what I want to do for the next few minutes tonight is talk to you about our potential. We all have it. You have, let me just make that real clear one more time. You have the potential to fulfill the purpose that God has placed in you, the purpose that He's given you. The question is not, do you have it? It's how do you get it out? See, that's where we get frustrated. The real question is not, do I have potential to do what God's called me to do? The question is, how do I get it out? How do I get it to manifest itself? How do you tap into that which is inside of you and all the supply that you need? Look, when God called you and gave you a purpose, He's already got the supplies you need too. And can I just tell you something about this church and all that we're doing in our land? When God says this is the right moment, it'll all be there. Now, we have to try. You know, they always say the early bird catches the worm. Well, if he don't get off the limb, he won't. Right? So he feeds the sparrows, but only if they go down and get it. So we have to try. We have to work, and we have to stay in tune with Him. But when He says it's time, it's time. I've heard it said about people that they died with their music still in them. You ever heard that comment about people? Well, I'd like to change it just a little bit. Too many people die with their music still in them because they're singing the wrong song. First Timothy 4:6, Paul says he was poured out like a drink offering. You don't have to put that one up, guys. I don't know if I had it on there or not. Paul says he was poured out like a drink offering. In other words, Paul had given everything that he had, just poured it all out and allowed God to use it. The key is he poured himself out. And that's where most of us stumble. We wake up every morning, want to do great things, and at the end of the day, we find ourselves frustrated and even defeated because we're trying to do the wrong thing. It's a difficult place to be. It's hard on you. I know, I've been there. Knowing that you're created for a purpose, but being stuck in this ordinary world. So I'm going to talk to you about potential. I've told you you all have a purpose, and I've told you you have the potential to fulfill it. Now look at Ephesians 2:10 with me. Let's jump all the way over to Ephesians. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them. When did God prepare these things? Beforehand. There is a difference in when you were created and when you were made. I want you to think about this. There's a difference in when you were created and when you were made. I was not created on June 20th, 1958. That was my birthday. But I was not created on that day. I was born or made on that day. Ephesians 1:4 tells us that we existed in Him before the foundation of the world. So I was created in God's mind somewhere way back in eternity past. God had a thought, and He named that thought Steve. Then, on June 20th, 1958, He took that thought and He put it in a human body. I was made, created, made. When God had that thought for me, whenever it was, way back in eternity past, when He had that thought and named it Steve, that thought contained everything that was needed to fulfill the purpose that He had for Steve. Same with all of you. Somewhere back there, He had a thought. He named one Kevin. He named one Liz. All of you, every one of you. And when He named that thought, it contained everything that you needed to fulfill the purpose that He had for you. Now, that falls into the category of saying that God is all-knowing. We use the word omnipotent, right? We say God is omnipotent. Do you even know what that means? Take the word for a minute and break it down. It's made up of two words. Omni, which means many or all. Potent, all potential. When we say he's omnipotent, it means that all potential is in God. And that's why you can't tire God out when you just keep asking him for something. Because you can't exhaust God. No matter how hard you try, you can't wear him out because he's all potential, all powerful, all potent. Yeah, I had a thought one time, and this is just a thought. I'm not telling you that this is right or wrong or anything, okay? I'm just a thought I had one time. I have a feeling, a thought. I believe sometimes God gets bored. Because we just keep asking him for the same old thing over and over and over again. And I wonder sometimes that if he doesn't get bored with that. God dwells in a different realm from us. He dwells in the realm of potential. He is all potential. You know, John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Scott reminded us of that a few weeks ago when he stood up here and taught us. I was reading that today and something hit me. He says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Do you realize that Jesus just said anything you do without him is nothing? And as soon as I had that thought, I thought, man, there's a lot of nothing going on in churches today. Without me, you can do nothing. So anything I do without involving him in it is as nothing to him. And a lot of us spend most of our life with that. You were created out of God. You were a thought that contained everything you are and everything you needed. He took that thought and he made you then out of the dust of the earth. So created in God, made here on earth. You came out of him. He had a life plan for you. And the day you were born or made, it started. Now, hang with me because I'm going somewhere. The problem is, I have the disease of Adam. Adam ate from a tree that messed his mind up. Right? What tree did Adam eat from? Yeah, the what of good and evil? He didn't eat from the tree of good and evil. He ate from the tree of the knowledge of good. Where is knowledge kept? In your mind. When Adam got that knowledge from that tree, it messed his mind up. And because we're born into that world of sin, when I was born on June 20th, 1958, I was placed in a body made of dust, a dirt body, with a messed up mind right off the bat. It was already messed up. And that's why Paul tells us we have to renew our mind. Because our mind will stop us from fulfilling our purpose. You know, Paul said, renew your mind. He didn't say get a new mind. He said, renew your mind, right? Adam didn't have a messed up mind in the beginning. Adam didn't have a poverty mindset. He didn't have a sickness mindset. He didn't have, you know, a negative mindset. He didn't have any of those things until he ate of that tree. And it messed his mind up. So because he did it, now I did it. Now, you know, John 10:7, Jesus says, I'm the door. He came to make a way for us to get back into the kingdom and to get that mind straightened out. Get that mind made new. Get that mind born again. He removes sin from it. The kingdom is spirit. Now, just hang with me. We're going somewhere. The kingdom is spirit. If something that you're dealing with, something that you're trying to accomplish for the kingdom, if it's not spirit, it's not kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is spirit at this point. Now, it will manifest itself one day, but right now, it's spirit. Therefore, no man will ever see what's really on the inside of him unless he's born again in the Spirit. You can't know your purpose from God if you're not born again. Because your spirit is dead till that point, till you're born again. Not of flesh, but of the Spirit. When that happens, you learn your purpose, right? All right. So my frustration then, my frustration is knowing that there's something on the inside of me that's trying to get out. There's a destiny placed inside of me. God placed it in it when he had that thought way back there. It's part of that package. There's a destiny in me. And my frustration is, I know there's a destiny in me, but every night I go to bed frustrated because I'm chasing the wrong destiny. I'm chasing what I want, not what he wants. Too many of us spend our whole life chasing our own desires, and we try to put God's stamp of approval on them. That's why we're frustrated. That's why things don't happen for us the way we want them to sometimes. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians 3. I got it up there for me. Let's read it here. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 2. That was 2. 3. That's all. Okay, sorry. Where is our life? Hidden where? In Christ, with God. That's where it is, right? Over in 1 John chapter 2, we're not going there. In 1 John chapter 2, it's actually a passage about the Antichrist. But he makes a statement in there. He says, you have an anointing and you know all things. If that's the true test of an anointing, we got a bunch of people that are not anointed around. Amen? The thing is, we may have an anointing, doesn't mean we know all things in here, in our brain, in our head. The question is not, are you anointed? He tells us we are, right? The question is, can you believe and operate on the level of your anointing? And that's where most of us stumble, because most of us don't have that much confidence in ourselves to do that. We stumble, we fall one time, we say, well, that must not have been God. And so we get up and we just give up. Your life is hidden where? In Christ, in God, right? Not in your head. Not in your head. It's hidden with Christ in God. Your head, even if you're a saved and you're a believer, your head still suffers from the knowledge of Adam's tree. We've been redeemed of it in the Spirit. But this body, we're told, has not yet. And so we're still susceptible, if we're not seeking and living in the Spirit, to hearing those old lies again. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? We're trying to live spiritual lives in bodies made of dust. We're not walking in the Spirit. And that's why we don't have the potential to fulfill these things. That's our frustration. We get sick, we say, I'm healed. But then that voice, you know Aunt Sarah died of that, don't you? The Spirit tells us, there's more. I want you to do this and this and this. And we immediately let our mind take us right out of it. Your spirit tells you to go change your town. Your mind says, nobody's done it yet. And when we hear these things and when we listen to them, our potential is pushed down. Because those voices are speaking to us not in our spirit, but in our flesh. But God says we have everything we need. That's our frustration. But I honestly believe that I'm talking to a group here tonight that wants to be different. I believe we got a group here at the Bend that wants to let that potential come forth. I believe we've got a group here that wants to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. I believe we got a group here that wants to accomplish great things for God and His glory and not for our own glory. See, the challenge for you and I is to live from the inside out instead of the outside in. And what that simply means is this: I can't let what I see on the outside determine what I believe on the inside. What I have to do is love what I believe on the inside and let it change what's on the outside. And that's where we fail. That's where we fail to grab that potential. God is all potential. Hey, think about this. What you can do in life, what you can accomplish is related to your source. If you're your own source, you can only do what you know. If God is your source, you can go further. You know, I believe, I said that earlier about God being bored. I think God gets bored sometimes with us church folks because all we ever ask Him to do is what we've seen Him do for somebody else. We don't ever ask Him to do something we've never seen before. Maybe we should. Maybe we need to start asking for something extraordinary. You know, some of you got circumstances going on in your life. Job, home, family, the list goes on and on. And we can't understand why it seems that all hell's breaking loose in our life sometime. Been there? You ever been there? I have. I'll be the first to raise my hand. And we don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you'll remember this, it'll help you. Potential is not known until a demand is placed on it. Let me give you a little illustration of this. This cord right here on this lamp has electricity in it. If you don't believe me, come up here with your pocket knife and cut into it. You'll see real quick. There's electricity in this cord. What's that electricity doing right now? I don't know, whatever electricity does in the cord when it's just sitting there, right? It's just there. It's useless at the moment. Potential. It could do something, but potential will never come forth until a demand is put on it. The moment I reach under here, and I hope my bulb's still good. There it is. And turn my little lamp on, a demand is placed on the potential in that cord. Electricity. And now that potential that was in that cord is traveling here and it's just producing something worthwhile. But until I flip that switch and put a demand on it, that electricity will stay in that cord till Jesus comes, as long as power doesn't go out, and be useless. But when the demand is put on it, when something draws on it, now, some of you are thinking right now, well, that means I've got to draw on that potential to do what I need. That is okay, but that's really not what I'm talking about. The things that we go through in life put a demand on the potential that God has put in us. and bring it out of us. Sometimes we are way too quick to write things off, but a demand by its very nature will ask something of you. It'll require something of you more than where you are right now. When all hell starts breaking loose at home, there's a demand put on you. When all hell breaks loose on your job, there's a demand put on you. When a child goes astray, there's a demand put on you that wasn't there. And when that demand is placed on you, now that potential that God has placed inside of you can be drawn out. We call that a test or a trial. Sometimes we even call it a demon. There's a demon messing with me. It's not a demon messing with you. God's just allowing something to happen in your life that will put a demand on the potential that He's already put in it, so you can excel from where you were to a new place He wants to carry you. We need to be careful how we look at negative things happening in our life. My Bible says that God directs every step I take. He's not surprised when these demands come. He's not even worried, because He knows He's already put the potential inside of me to handle any situation. When He had that thought way back there in eternity past, He knew every hard day I would have. He knew everything of suffering I would have. He knew every time I was going to have a need. He knew all of that already. It was already in the book. So when these things happen, we're saying, "Lord, help me, help me, help me." And He said, "Man, I've already given you the potential. Just rise up and handle it." But we, quite often, go to our grave with our songs still in us. God, listen to this. God is in everything that you haven't seen yet. That's what potential is. Once it's drawn upon, it's no longer potential. It is energy, results. So God is in everything that you haven't seen yet. See, what we want, God to take the demand off of us, but we still want to meet our full potential. It's easier that way, isn't it? We want the demand gone, but we still want to rise to our full potential. We want to see the glory of God. We've been talking a lot about revival. We've been seeing things happen. We want to see the glory of God. Half of us don't even know what that is. Half of us think it's that shiver we got running down our back when the air conditioning came on right next to us. Glory is the full expression of a thing. I dare say there's not a one of us in here that could stand in the full glory of God. Couldn't do it. We want the glory to fall. And we glorify God when our potential is met, when it happens. We've got to remember that our potential is there to help us complete a purpose, which is to bring glory to Him. And listen, I've been asked 1,000 times over my 35 years, I guess, of ministry, why doesn't God just go ahead and take care of the devil? I mean, a thought, devil be gone, right? I believe He could. Why doesn't He? Do you realize that without an enemy, you'll never meet your potential? We all need an enemy, because that enemy puts a demand on us. And when the demand's put on us, we can draw from the potential that God has already put in us to meet that demand. But if there's no enemy, just stop and think about it. If there's no enemy, really there's no reason to even pray. So we need that. And that's why God hasn't just taken Satan out of the picture. Because we need that enemy. Everybody does. Some of you don't like that, but it's true nonetheless. You see, our frustration really is that we see ourselves locked into something small. And what we see tells us that what we hear is a lie. We need to get to the point that we can close our eyes and imagine what's on the inside of us in the Spirit and draw on that. What does the Bible say? We walk by faith, not by sight. But most of us live by sight. We have to learn to pay no attention to what we see, because what we see will change if we hold on to what we hear. But most of us, when we see it, and I understand, I've done it too. When we see it, that's real. Not to God. He's already given us the potential to handle it. Potential, what's in here, is just as real as what we see. We haven't seen it yet, but it's just as real to us. And God dwells in that unseen realm of potential. We need to be people. We need to be the kind of people that live in tomorrow and tolerate today. Because we know what's coming tomorrow. We should. So it's potential. The saddest life, I believe, is the life that goes to the grave with its potential still in it. So, we've all got it. We all have a purpose. And we all have the potential to complete that purpose. The question is, can we live to the level of our potential? Can we live from the inside out? Let me say this. I think I've got this one to put on the screen if you guys can find it. Trying to figure out how I want to say this. Give me a second here. I'm sorry. Potential is everything we are, but we are not yet. I think I used some bad English when I gave it to Noah. Everything that I am, but I am not yet. And so the simple question to this then turns out, how many of you want to be what God wants you to be? Well, that's a quick, you know, that's the old cop out when you're in a church and things just don't seem to be moving and you want to have a good altar call. That's what you do. That's what us preachers do. I'm confessing here. Anybody wants all God's got for them, come on down. Well, everybody's going to come to that, right? It's one of our tricks, sorry. But potential is everything that I am, but I am not yet. There's a lot of things that you are not yet that you are. Because God has already placed it in you to be. Folks, you have the potential to be great in the kingdom of God. Every one of us does. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what you've said. I don't care what you haven't said. I don't care about any of that. If you are saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, then your potential is available to you to fulfill the purpose that God has for you. And I don't care how old you are, Gary. Oh, sorry. He was the oldest one I could see sitting here. I didn't know. Every one of you in here, we sit around and we wait on the pastors and the preachers and the teachers and the evangelists and all those things to jump up and do something. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? You have potential. If you've been filled with the Spirit, you've got potential. Adam had to leave. I was really wanting him to be here when I said what I'm about to say now because I want him to argue with me. So now I can just say it and not worry about it. We praise God for what he's done. Right? When was the last time you praised him for what he's going to do? You remember what the psalmist said? He said, enter what? His courts, plural, with praise. So there's more than one praise court, right? There's the praise court of praising him for what he's already done. And then there's the praise court for praising him for what he hadn't done yet, but he's going to do. And quite honestly, I believe that praise court will get more done for us than the one where I'm praising him for already, what he's already done. Because I got to put a lot of faith with this one over here to get in there. So, well, I don't know about that. Well, the psalmist said, praise him according to what? His excellent greatness. Right? What's the word excellent mean? It's from the root word excel, which means to do better than you did, more than you have. So when we praise him for his excellent greatness, we're over in that other courtyard praising for what he's going to do, what he can do. And it's a whole different ballgame. Because then, if I'm over here and I'm praising him for what he's already done, and there's a time for that. There's a great time for that. But if I'm over there in that courtyard, I'm not putting any demand on that potential because it's already done. But when I step into this courtyard and start praising him for what I know he can and what I know he's going to do, now I'm putting a draw on that potential. I'm turning on the light bulb. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Adam's calling to get at me here. I heard. Here's the problem for most of us. We've asked God to take us to the next level. We've asked him to meet all of our needs. And a lot of times when he does those things, we don't even recognize it, because the way God takes us to the next level a lot of time is he puts a wall in front of us. And we have to conquer that wall. We have to conquer that giant before we can move on, because that puts a draw on our potential that he's already placed inside of us. Think about it a minute. Over in 1 Kings, Elijah was sent to the widow at Zarephath. He said, go up there and she'll take care of you. Now, if I'd have been Elijah, I would have been tempted to say, now, wait a minute, God. If I go up there, all I'm going to eat is biscuits and oil. Couldn't you send me to a rich man? You give me a steak every now and then? Maybe a little lamb chop? Something better than bread and oil? God didn't send Elijah to a rich man to take care of him. He sent him to a widow. Because that kept a draw on Elijah's faith. If he'd have sent him to a rich man, there would have been no more pull on Elijah's potential. You are from your source. Your source is God. Your source has all potential. We traced this cord back and traced these wires back, we'd end up at a power generating plant, the source, right, where this electricity starts. God is your source. You will never rise above your source. And what's driving most of us crazy is we know we got something, we want it to get out, but we're chasing it for the wrong reasons, and we're not drawing on the potential that he's already put inside of us. We haven't put a demand on it. I guess I could say this another way. This is really the way I want to close it up. You have potential. Every one of you in here has got the potential to do whatever God's called you to do. I don't know what individual purposes he has for all of you. Some of you I've talked to. I don't know, but you know. Many of you do. And if you don't, that's somewhere you need to spend time in prayer, finding out. But whatever that purpose is that he's got for you, he's already given you everything you need. It was in that thought that he named you. But you've got to put a draw on it. And if you don't, he will. because his purposes will be fulfilled. Are you going to let your potential go to the grave with you because you're chasing the wrong destiny? Bottom line, some of you, and I don't care how old you are for this either, some of you need to start dreaming again. Some of you have quit dreaming because life's gotten hard. You feel like you've done all you can do. You feel like you couldn't do anything else if you had something else to do because you don't have any supply. You don't have, you're just somebody that's, you know. But let me tell you something right now. Any one of you in here is great in the hand of God. And where are we? In Him. Every one of you in here is special. Because your purpose and the potential that He's put in you to bring it out is unique. It's like a fingerprint. They say no two are alike. I don't know whoever checked them all to find out if it's true or not, but that's what they say, right? So your purpose and your potential are unique to you. Miss Jean, you still got a purpose. You still got potential. You sit and smile at me every week, and that blesses me. That's a purpose. But you got more than that. Yeah, He's not through. God doesn't care how old you are. Doesn't care how young you are either. He's already got it laid out, but you have to put a demand on it. So dream. Dream. Dream big, because He's a big God. And He's got more potential than you could ever even imagine, just waiting to pour it out in you to a lost and dying world to bring glory to Him. Dream. Dream. Father, restore in us a dream, a hope, faith in what we can be. Too many of us, Father, have sat around where we are thanking You for that for so long we forgot that we need to move on. Help us to walk by sight. I mean by faith and not by sight. So that our faith changes what we see. You are our source. We are plugged into You. It's time that we all Father, I thank You for these that have come out here tonight, for their faithfulness. Father, I ask You to bless them, keep them safe going home, be with us this week. Give us opportunities to draw upon our potential, the potential that You've placed in us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.